Over here. Yeah, those are the minutes.
I'm gonna turn on this here so I can vote. Yeah, move to approve the minutes.
You need to do roll call first.
Oh, sorry.
All right. We're gonna call to order the meeting, our Thursday, August 23rd meeting at 7 p.m. of the South Kingstown Affordable Housing Collaborative. Roll call, Cheryl Hurtnett here.
Jeff Martins here.
Joe Murphy.
Kenny Burke.
Alice Buckley.
Jennifer Kruger.
I move to approve the minutes, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do you like how short and succinct your minutes are?
Yeah, I do. We'll move on to discussion of follow-up of the public forum.
Well, Evelyn Smith from the Charlestown Affordable Housing Commission, I think, was so impressed that she told me she was going to have one in Charleston.
Really?
That's great.
I haven't seen anything about it since.
That's great. She was at my table.
Was she?
Yeah.
Where is she from, Evelyn? I know that Charleston.
She's a private developer.
Okay.
For a profit woman, but she's the chair of the Affordable Housing Commission in Charleston.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
It was a good turnout.
It was a great turnout.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
It went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling it together.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you got anything from the everybody? Because that was my only drawback was that I was feeling like selfish. I wish I could have heard from all the tables.
From all the tables. You know, I should have.
I know they reported out.
I didn't do this, but I had meant to last time. We were supposed to have a meeting. To go back and look at everything, and I just, it's been a long time, but I felt generally like they were, everyone seemed to sort of feel the same vibe, right? It was like everyone was sort of in the same direction and some really good thoughts about education and different maybe program things we could do, but of course right now, off the top of my head, I can't remember the specifics of anything.
Okay, yeah.
So it feels like it was so long ago. I have the pictures. Look at those. Yeah, of all the
sheets.
Yeah, so let's see if there's anything.
Did anyone have people at their tables who were like totally new to the conversation? Because I felt like there were a lot of people who had at least some exposure to affordable housing in some way or some interest already that kind of brought them there.
Yeah.
Which,
I felt
you know,
like
it was a different crowd to talk to than the general public. But.
I felt like I did. It was, I don't know her first name, Spears. She's in the business, but her husband was at my table. And his last name was Perry, I believe. It's Perry Spears. She works for Callie?
Yeah.
So her husband was at our table.
Okay.
So I think she's in the nonprofit world. I don't know her at all. And I felt, I don't think that he was by any means. I think he was genuinely there because of housing affordability.
Unfortunately, not everyone who was there signed in on the sign-in sheet because I only have like 17 people signed in, and there were
definitely
more than that.
Yeah, once we got started, I came in, so I was kind of forcing people to sign in at the entrance.
And I felt like when we before we actually started everything, there was someone that was at the table, sort of telling people to sign in.
I was, yeah.
I don't know what happened. So I guess the question really is what. Next, right? Like, what do you want to do with that conversation? To either keep it moving forward or do something different, or do we want to wait until?
What was the question on doing the forum at all? Just going to launch the zoning program,
right? So
should we have waited for something, some interim or initial report from that?
Yeah,
but we didn't, which is fine. But as a follow-up, a full data impact.
Yeah, so we can bring the what we learned from the zoning from that report. Plus, we also hopefully want to talk about bond. You know, maybe in 2 years, but we want to start bringing that to the table and start kind of weaving that into the conversation.
And I think last time when some of us were here for the meeting that didn't happen, we were talking about. Sorry. You know, I have a lot of meetings, so We were talking about making an official request from this committee to the town council, one about that real estate transfer tax and how it's used, and then two, maybe about some sort of bond referendum for affordable housing specifically. But I think really to sort of move that forward, this committee would have to act on that, right? You'd have to sort of pull something together that's a recommendation.
So what is the intent of the bond? Is that to help finance projects, or is that to help people that need
really to finance projects, yeah. Similar to what Charlestown did. You know, it was $2 million in Charlestown?
$1
million. And so from that, groups of people were able to build Churchwoods and fund another project. So it's sort of just some partial money to put into those different projects to help get going, pre-development money.
$950,000 and got 42 million, so that would be.
Well, some of that money went to Edwards Lane, too, didn't it?
Yeah.
So I think when we've talked about this, previously, some of the money could be, you know, to purchase land. There might be money that, you know, we haven't really thought about all the programmatic alternatives, right? There might be money that goes into, like, gap financing, right, between people who can, like, the mortgage you can afford and the price of the unit, right? There might be something there for some funding. We just don't know what that is, but until we have money, we can't really do anything, right? I also think, you know, the manager, since the whole South Kingstown Land Trust Boy Scout property conversation, Rob has been thinking really critically about, well, what's the alternative to a South Kingstown Land Trust? And I think although he hasn't really finalized his thoughts on it, he's thinking about like a village trust, right? Some entity that takes money and helps the village develop, right? And whatever that means. Is it affordable housing? Is it infrastructure? Is it economic development? Like, what is that?
Interesting.
So that, I think, is a conversation to have, too. So maybe for that you could put on your next agenda to have him come and sort of talk through some of those things.
Yeah.
I think right now is a good time for this committee to sort of jump on the council and say, hey, what are you doing?
So the real estate transfer tax, is it all going towards the open space?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry that I'm not all the way.
And I'm not entirely
right
sure. I'm not entirely sure how, like, what percentage of it goes to open space and other stuff. I know a large percent, like, all of the open space money comes from that transfer tax, right? But I don't know if there's more transfer tax that's not going in that pool.
Yeah, my only question there is just, what is the town's ability to take action? Was it an enabling piece of legislation that it allowed you to create the tax and specify the specific, you know, dispersion between the two
either,
categories?
I don't know either, like, the $100,000 that we got for zoning work came out of the tax, right? Because it was in that sort of open space funding source, and they took it out and said, no, you Affordable Housing Collaborative, you can have that.
Right.
So it's
right.
Already in the tax hands.
Yeah, and I think the wording, there's like three or four different areas that they can kind of put the money in, but the bulk of it has been going into
open space. To date.
Yeah.
So I think this committee, as sort of the advisors on affordable housing to the town council, and that's your role, is to ask them to consider something different for them, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. I think that should be an agenda item on our next,
absolutely.
At our next meeting, absolutely, yeah.
Yep, good.
And financially, you're talking about the bonds. I mean, that's usually all for capital investment. So there's obviously the, I don't know where the gap funding is, if it can be attached to a capital asset, maybe you can use bond proceeds, but otherwise you'd look at this, you know, transfer tax or some other operating revenue, you know, for subsidies on rental vouchers, you know, to supplement whatever exists that's already in place. So it's an array of funding sources.
So bonding money is usually capital?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, bonding, you need to define when you go out to bond what it is you want to do. I don't think it's limited. Charlestown's bond, for instance, went to land acquisition. The majority of it, 50,000 per project hunks went to pre-development costs. So that as long as you define the use on the front end, you can use it.
My thought on this is that you might want to be a little more specific when you go to the council and let them know exactly what they're going to get for that. So the consultant, hopefully, will come up with several ideas for incentives and maybe some regulatory changes. And if you could, once you get those, if you could maybe combine those and use it as leverage, you know, to make them even more attractive with a small amount of seed money, I think you might be more effective when you go to the town council and say, hey, for this small amount of seed money, we can leverage it with these other incentives and get it.
I think there's sort of two different things here, right? So what the zoning work is going to hopefully do is incentivize people who are already doing development to deed restrict, right? So that's maybe a different thing than creating brand new without market rate unit, attached market rate unit, deed restricted units. See what I mean? So to me, the affordable housing like money.
I'm still concerned about the ability of private finance revenues. I think we need to bring the bankers
right.
over in this project and have that conversation. Creating the ability to increase density for multifamily housing in and of itself, I don't think is going to be sufficient.
Because you can't finance
it. These guys down here are accustomed to doing deals and getting their profit and going away. Can't do that.
Yeah.
With rental housing. Plus, as the banker who was here told us, they're not going to finance the real stuff. You've got to pay with a bunch of your own capital. You get to point X, and then they'll come in and mortgage it for
so
you. But
pre-development cost.
But still, in all, you've got to use your investment. You can't, you got to be committed to time. These guys don't want to do that. They get their money and run.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Sort of to Joe's point, when I think about like a zoning incentive, it's an incentive for someone who wasn't going to do this thing to then do it, right? I'm a developer and I'm going to put 20 units on Route 2, and if you didn't make me, I wouldn't do LMI housing, but you're going to give me an incentive so I do. And that to me is a different thing than funding straight up LMI housing. Like those two things are different.
Did you say funded
100% LMI housing. So either through property acquisition that gets given to a CDC or through pre-development cost financing or whatever it is, that's a different thing to me than like just working with a developer who's already going to do a development.
Well, the development he's going to do is going to be single-family home ownership. It's
exactly.
The development he's going
to
do.
And then we're going to incentivize him to deed-restrict some of those single-family home units.
Well, we kind of do already anyhow.
Right, exactly right.
We're going to sweeten the pot somehow.
Right.
It's either coming in as a comp permit or it's coming in under a group of its own. So it's not an incentive.
No.
But that's the only way he can get the density he wants on his market rate stuff. So
and
I think what we've been talking about is rental housing.
Lower income rental housing.
That's the nut. The financing on that is the problem. The zoning on that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's doing it. So you can't, no one's going to want to already do it and can't. They don't want to do it. So we got to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix that?
So that's what the bond would come in? The bond would provide?
I've got an outline of a plan that I'll put on the table next time if you want to put this on the agenda. The bond can certainly help with it. It's two phases. Phase one would be this zoning study. And looking at acceptable density increases given locations. There are two is how to do
it. And then, so I gather part of our discussion maybe next month will be sort of trying to work through how we would talk to the town council about if we had more access to the transfer tax, how would we leverage that to increase the affordable housing? Like a little bit more of the how.
Can you get cash flow out of that for next week?
Yes.
I mean, I know it's slow in development, but.
Yeah, and I can find out how, you know, what else it is used to fund besides open space. The other thing we should talk about next time as part of this discussion is fee and loan, right? I think the town has always said no because there was never...
We had it.
Was, yeah, and now we don't.
East Greenwich test case taught us we don't want it. So if you want to look at it again, fine, but
so,
it took all the control away from the municipality when we did that neighborhood legislation.
Yes, so they now set our amount. They tell us we have to use it in 2 years.
Or give it to the whole forest.
Yeah. Right. So the only place I think that may be appropriate is in, like, the Route 2 situation, where you have a development that is subject to inclusionary zoning, and instead of having them construct those units where they don't make sense in town, they contribute to this new fund of money, and not as a standalone pot of money, because it would never work, right? You'd never have enough in that pot. But if you were getting funding from some other source that could be then supplemented by the fee in lieu, then maybe it makes sense.
Well, it's a developer's choice. So
right.
If you get a fee in lieu, it ain't going to be just Route 2. It's going to be anywhere.
Well, I think it's developer's choice, but we still have the mechanism to say only in zoning districts. Right? Like, we could, because there's no limitation in the Zoning Enabling Act that says you can't tell them where they can and can't do it. It just says you can enable it at their discretion. It doesn't say you have to enable it all over town.
Yeah, I just want to ask Michael about that one.
Yeah, we can.
But the way the law is, the way I read it is, anywhere, if there's a fee in lieu of in the municipality under inclusionary zones, it's the developer's choice to just pay it and get on about his business, or opt to do the units. Mm-hmm. That's it. And if you opt to do the units, then you're your options kick in, I think. Mm. But if he doesn't want to do them, he gives you the money, and he's done. Anyway. Mm.
Interesting. Yeah, no, we can ask for legal opinion.
Michael
on
just gave some strange advice to West Bremen.
What else?
On a tangent, is the town tracking RIPTA's desire to have a transit hub in South County?
No.
We're tracking it at the university. And honestly, I'd rather have it in Wakefield instead. Mm-hmm. No, Narragansett.
Yeah, and nobody has brought that to our attention, that they're even considering it.
Yeah. And just the spin-off benefits of, as you're saying, you know, going to the outlying areas, Route 2,
right,
what have you.
What was that deal on Churchill?
The ride share. So they Felipe brought it down so that RIPTA will come at a phone call.
Yeah.
Somebody from Churchill calls up and says, I need a ride on Monday. They'll send a bus down. And so that's sort of happening in a lot of the areas down in Charleston.
And Melissa caused that to happen in Indian Run?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so she brought it to Indian Run. That's right.
They're doing something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think it's more of a brick and mortar, you know, venture to also see if there's a linkage to Westerly, you know, to really do a South County network.
Mm.
They need a home base instead of driving all the way up to Providence,
yeah,
at the end of the day.
Mm.
So we're building a new fuel depot, and you know, we're contemplating having dual pumps need it, but in the event that, you know, there are bigger buses that come through.
That's the partnership the UN's headquarters on top of North Kingstown. Place is huge. The old car dealership up there, the Lenticle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where I saw the cars up there. Yeah, okay. Across the old carriage.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think Jen's right that the your discussion, probably the next meeting, because you can't really make a decision today because it's not on your agenda, is about sort of trying to further define what that program might. How would, if you got the money, how would it best be spent? And then to make a request for the money.
I think Joel's right. The first attempt at getting bond money out of the town council needs to be specific and targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll succeed in the whole case by beauty, then it's easier the next time. But something specific would be better.
And I'll talk to Rob about having him come and sort of talk about this village trust best idea? Because it seems to me like if that's something that's going to gain momentum, then this is just a piece of it. You know what I mean? It's just part of a larger, we develop in our villages, and this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Business owner, and they're like, by the way, what has the Affordable Housing Collaborative done that? And I just unloaded them. Like, two thumbs. I'm like, boom, boom, boom. What are you talking about? You only recently just got funded.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a head shit.
Thank you. Thanks for backing
good.
Us
up.
I do think in talking in the community a little more, at all kinds of random events, there's still a fair amount of people who are not convinced we have a housing shortage issue in South Kingstown, which having access to the numbers is kind of shocking to me. But I've encountered people who I expected to be more aware of that, saying, well, I'm not sure that's really what it is. Maybe there's just a lot of speculation happening, or, you know, we don't want to urbanize our area. So some interesting things like that I think as we're going into this RFP process and how are we going to talk to people in the community, just things to sort of mull over and think about in terms of making sure we're communicating, you know, what's really going on, like how quickly houses are turning over, how hard it is for, you know, people to find workforce housing. And
yeah, there's certainly a current problem, and the data shows there's going to be a future problem. It is amazing to me how people don't either care to look at the data or just don't trust it.
Well, I feel like the forum kind of opened the door to start that conversation and, you know, reach out to a little bit, and it's kind of like a little spider web.
And I think that's a role our committee will have to keep playing, you know, with the help of the consultant, but also just as individual members when we have opportunities to talk to people.
We have to do a lot more of educating and talking. And little forums, you know, we used to call them like cottage meetings or something, and I don't know how it would really work in this scenario, but, you know, when we've had a big project that we had to get a lot of buy-in for, you have small meetings with 10 or 12 people, and you can have a really good discussion, and you can talk about the pros and cons, and you're not trying to push something down someone's throat, you're just sort of having a conversation and listening to lots of different ideas. And it can be very effective, but I don't know.
Well, it's good to see. It was like 3 or 4 council members out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was.
I think Liz wasn't there, but only because she was up at Harvard at that time.
But the other four.
But I agree with you. The small groups, you can learn a lot, too, about what the perceptions are and react better to those, too.
Yeah. So maybe this is also, I guess, sort of follow-up to the public forum, but also onto the next agenda item. The town council has authorized us to contract with Horsley Whitting Group to do the zoning work. Their process is going to start with understanding the community, right? They're going to start making photographic inventories and figure grounds and just things to like use as tools in community conversations. And then their first set of conversations is a sort of 3 community forums to be held within a single week all over town.
Great.
And then the plan is sort of within 6 weeks of that to have another set of 3 community open houses all over town that would be sort of a feedback loop to the first one. So we're working on their contract with them now, and I think if we can sort of give them this group to do some of the on-the-ground stuff, then we might be able to work out that scope so that it's more effective, right? It's not just 3 community forums, but it's 3 community forums plus you all go to one meeting, right, with a group that exists, or, you know, something like that. Who's on it? It was Jeff and me, Joe, Josh Daly, and Rob on the committee. And
you received 2, did you?
We got 2 proposals. Mm-hmm. One was from a firm out of Ohio.
Really?
And the other was Horsley Whitting Group. Horsley Whitting Group, for those who don't know, is working on a comprehensive plan right now, and they also did the village studies. I think we were mostly impressed with some of their outreach methods. So one of the things they said they want to do is create these little video, they call them video messages about the impacts of not having affordable housing. That then could be on the website, could be used at these community forums, right, that sort of make it more personal. So, and not only, we talked to them about not only having it be people who can't find housing, but businesses who can't find employees because there's no housing. You know, a series of those things.
Can I have some of those for our website?
Yeah. I mean, they'll be the towns, right? So we'll own them at the end of the day.
With real people.
Yeah. South Kingstown people.
You put a webcam up my ass, you get my mother on board this.
You can be one of the vignettes. We talked about doing sort of web map based input, right, where people could, and this is not necessarily with affordable housing, but just how more housing in general, where people could say, well, I think more density is appropriate here, I like this house in the style that it is, right, the architectural stuff. We talked about updating the website. We have a website right now that we're using for the comprehensive plan. It's just plansouthkingstown.com. So we're going to take that and flip it into this work. What else? What am I missing that they had talked about? They're going to, at the end of the...
You mentioned Union Studio is coming.
Yeah, Union Studio Architects is partnering with them. So a big part of their project, which the other consultant didn't seem to have a sort of a handle on at the end of the day, is design guidelines. A whole set of design guidelines, they said, for up to 8 building typologies. So that would be like single family, duplex, triplex, quadplex, garden apartment, flat over flat, right? All of that stuff we don't have, we'll get design guidelines to, if you're going to do it,
Me too. I was just going to make fun of you for getting so excited about the website.
Right. Yeah, and then we talked about having Union Studio take maybe a couple of parcels in downtown and sort of apply the design guidelines to what could the design guidelines and the new zoning rules and see what could happen, right? So as examples. So I think the whole thing's going to be phenomenal. We're going to need this group to be involved. There will be several like joint work sessions with the planning board when it comes to sort of scoping out the project and reviewing stuff, and then also for you guys just to be mostly involved in the outreach and the getting people in the, you know, if we have a meeting, following up with the people that we had the meeting with, or like that sort of stuff to keep people engaged. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great project.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
what will you see a summary without the towns to provide incentives for?
Probably got to look at Massachusetts.
It's going to be very short. Yeah, your summary is going to be very short.
Massachusetts, right? Yeah.
Rhode Island towns don't, in general, like even South Kingstown, I don't think ours is technically an incentive, right?
Well, it doesn't necessarily. So Charleston, right? So for instance, accessory dwelling, 650 square feet, it has to be a family member for a typical accessory dwelling unit. However, if it's an affordable, it doesn't have to be a family member, and it can be 850 and it's not limited to one bedroom. So there's different regulations for an accessory. Coventry does not have inclusionary zoning, but Coventry allows multi-units in an R20 on the special use permit. So it's not necessarily directly affordable, but it could affect affordability of housing.
Well, that's true, Matt. I mean, I wouldn't say that allowing density in certain places is an incentive. It's just a by right allowance of density. You know, I don't think of that as an incentive to increase affordability, especially if you have to go through a special use permit to get it. If you have to go through the special use permit to process to put a multifamily house on your property, to me that's the opposite of an incentive. You should be able to just do it by right. If you're really trying to increase affordability. And then for accessory apartments, we've been having lots of conversations specific to Fieldstone Farms about the enforceability of occupancy of those units. And we had talked about this months ago when they came here. And the more we dig into it, the more we find it's not enforceable. It's not something that, like, if I own a piece of property and I have a rent LMI restricted unit on my property, if I put someone in it, I can monitor that all day, but nobody can tell me I have to put something in.
Right.
And that's the problem.
And if you don't put somebody in it, can you use it for storage? I guess.
You can, yeah.
Or,
or your office.
Or your pool table.
Or your pool table, right? So,
right.
Yeah, so when you talk about...
It's an interesting conversation next Tuesday night, then.
Absolutely, yes, it will. Read your staff comments. You'll see all the good things in there.
So you guys must have spent a lot of time. Amy's been spending time on this?
Yeah, we've spent lots of time.
This is a planning board meeting next Tuesday?
Yeah,
for
it is, and that was one of the specific things at the last planning board meeting that we asked the council to come back and be able to discuss the enforceability, both legally and practically.
Okay.
I can just come and listen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be fireworks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when I think about an incentive, it's something that makes it almost like, why would I not do that to get a right? Like, it's something that says, this is so good, I can't pass it up, I'm going to do it on my housing. Not, I'm going to give you, you know, for us, you have to deed, like, I have 10 units by right, I'll give you two more, but those two have to be out of my housing. That's not an incentive.
Yeah, and I guess, I see LMI housing, and I realize that's the focus, but I also see housing that's affordable. It's not necessarily deed restricted,
yeah.
It's just also an important element of it.
Right.
Increasing densities, even if it doesn't require LMI, or to give an incentive for LMI, or allowing multi-units can, increase the number of units that are affordable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's...
Right, and that's sort of the whole premise of the multi-household work, right, is that in South Kingstown, one of the best ways, you know, from the staff's perspective, and I think, you know, when we saw it when around housing came down, one of the best ways for us to increase our general affordability is to increase density where it makes sense. And that's what...
And allow multi-units.
And allow multi-units, right? So that's sort of the whole point of that zoning work, is that some of it's inclusionary and some of it's LMI-related, but a lot of it's just, we need more housing, we need different types of housing, and how do we get it?
Because there's really no apartment, so people
right.
want to stay here looking for single families, and then they're, you know, $2,000 a month for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. As an example, you have all met Kayla in my office, Kayla Gray. She's looking for a rental in South Kingstown. She cannot find one. She's been looking now for like 8 months. She cannot find one.
My daughter, they found three.
Really?
Yeah.
Three
and she,
that were affordable.
And she's like,
and they live here, and they were just trying to move.
She lives there now in Portsmouth, and she's paying an exorbitant amount of rent in Portsmouth. And she's like, I will pay the same amount of rent here, but I just want to be here. And she literally just can't find anything.
Cool.
So, yeah, so it is.
Put her on the video.
On the video, right. I don't know that I would call just creating more housing an incentive, but there are probably ways that we can incentivize people to build that housing, right? Just allowing it isn't really an incentive. Allowing it that just makes sense. It's good planning.
But I mean,
it's how do you get them to then build it? That's
if you're creating a bunch more $400,000 homes, that's not going to
happen. No, right. It's not.
No, but the demand's going to be, the demand is there. So
yeah.
if it's not hard for them to do, if you make it easier for them to do and incentivize it, the demand is coming. It's
right.
It's going to start
except
growing.
Except, to Jeff's point, they can't finance it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like rental units. What we've heard from the banking industry and the banking
that's
that came
right.
to visit us was not, you know, not financed. So we'll talk about that.
Did you sign a contract, or when will they start? Or
we are working on the details of the contract now.
Okay.
And they'll start as soon as it's signed, right? So
okay.
I've drafted a contract. I've sent it up to Rob to look at. I'm just waiting for him to send it back. It's not just our standard contract with whatever the scope that they propose.
Have you announced who it is or not yet?
Yeah, it's Horsley Witten, yeah. The council authorized us to contract with them at their last meeting, so.
Great.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's
really
Horsley Witten and Union Studio.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great project, and no one else in Rhode Island really is doing it, so we're excited about it.
Even better.
But Kingstown has always been ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else followed. So now, once again,
we just got to get a bond.
Just got to get some money. Yeah, and I really do. I mean, I'm interested in this idea of an organization whose mission is to help Wakefield and Peacedale and Kingston and West Kingston develop in a responsible way, right? Like.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, you know, we talked about the commercial highway district on Old Tower Hill Road, right? Where, like, Staples and CVS and all of that stuff that everyone knows could be really a lot better. Like, you just instinctively know that.
Even if we change the zoning in that area and allow more stuff, our infrastructure doesn't support it. So some way we have to get the financing to create like a better stormwater system to have, you know, more capacity in our public water and sewer. Mm-hmm. So there's things that even if we know what it is we're supposed to do, we still need funding. We still need financing. So I'm curious about this concept and how it can help all.
Is the Kingston area an opportunity zone? Did I read something about that? Do you know anything?
Yeah,
about
it is.
I'm just throwing that
what
out
that
there.
It's
just
like I don't know what that means either.
The state designated it as like
yeah.
Yeah,
what does that mean? Can we talk about that here or after?
Well, my recollection, you know, way back, EDC, before they were Commerce Corporation, they looked at enterprise zones. I mean, this is even before.
Yeah.
Statewide planning put the stars on the map. I mean, there's been several studies to look at transit, you know, and just, you know, basic infrastructure, and then just say, well, that must be a good place, right?
So I think this is pulling some, like some way back stuff. Commerce Corporation had contacted the town months ago, maybe last summer, to look. There was a federal program of designating opportunity zones, as they call them. The opportunity zones had to have a certain percentage of like lower income households in them or be adjacent to a tract that had lower income households. The only tract in South Kingstown that qualified as having that population was the West Kingston tract, mostly because of the URI students, right? Because they are counted in the census. As living in New York.
South County Commons might qualify too.
But I think theirs was because it was adjacent. It wasn't like the population within it was like an adjacency, whatever. No, so if I remember correctly, the opportunity zones were areas that would be designated as this thing. And then businesses within that area could apply to the Commerce Corporation to have some kind of tax treaty or tax deferment or something, some sort of like employment incentive. And so Commerce Corporation took all of the municipalities' sort of recommendations. We recommended Kingston. We also recommended like Wakefield and Peacedale because we were adjacent. And they then applied to the federal government, and the federal government helped them pick the zones. And I guess the one that washed out for South Kingston was
so it's more business. It doesn't really fit in with our housing
more
stuff.
Business. Okay. Yeah, I can look into it some more. But that's what I remember from, like I said, last year.
I'm just trying to understand things that are
related
that might be helpful to the conversation about where we are talking about more density and building out from village centers.
And even if it is business in Kingston, it makes sense to put business near housing. Right? So if you're saying, we're going to incentivize business creation in Kingston, well, then you might incentivize housing there, too. Makes sense. That's true. Yeah.
Thank you for answering my random question.
And that might, I will caveat that with that might not be correct at all.
Okay.
It might be completely wrong, but I'll check on
sounds
that.
Sounds good.
And I'll let you know.
So I think before then, there was the growth center.
The growth center.
That was more about the intersection of water and sewer and just
basic availability of infrastructure,
basic
public
stuff,
services.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything really would work out.
Right.
But
I think for South Kingstown, as far as I can tell, looking back at the old planning documents, it seems like there has, for as far back as I can see, been a commitment to developing where the infrastructure is, right, to maintaining the villages. I think there's a little bit of a discrepancy in some folks' minds. There's sort of two groups here where, you know, where the comprehensive plan says maintain the villages or contain development to the villages. Some people see that as keep the village exactly as it is right now forever, and some people see that as develop the village. And those are different things.
Yes.
Right? Those are two completely different concepts. And you've probably heard me say this before, I think that if your town's not growing, it's dying. You can't just stay the same. It just doesn't work that way. So if you're growing, you need to be growing in a responsible way in the place that makes sense, which South Kingstown is, Wakefield, Peaston, West Kingston, Kingston, really.
excited, right? Lots
super
of fun
excited.
Stuff.
I'm very excited. Yeah. That's, yeah, that
very.
Is exciting.
Yeah.
That's a good.
And it's good for, I think it's good for us. I think it's going to be a process that hopefully gets a lot of people engaged. And the other thing I didn't mention was before that first round of community forums, they're going to do a two-week awareness campaign with, you know, social media and news outlets and every way they can to get people to know that these things are going to happen. So it's going to be a little bit more intensive than what we usually do.
Wow.
So, good stuff coming.
Yeah.
Kick off when?
I don't know yet. We're gonna sign the contract, and then the first thing is for them to meet with staff and set up a schedule. And then once we have that, I'll tell you when kickoff really is. I just don't know yet. And they're gonna do a lot of that understanding the context before we have a public kickoff, because they want to use that stuff at kickoff meeting. So. It'll kick off with staff and sort of behind the scenes stuff before it kicks off with all of you. Anything
what's
else
next?
For like following up from the forum? Is there anything we should want to just hold and not do any more community stuff until this kicks off? Makes sense.
I would say
so.
I
think we need to go with
yes.
this.
I think
yeah.
to get credit for us, we should somehow sponsor one of these community.
Well, you're going to sponsor all of them.
Oh, sponsor all of them.
Okay.
The whole thing, done. The whole thing is yours.
Come forward, thank you.
Send that to that guy.
Yeah. We're doing all that. This whole project, it's yours. And the planning board's going to support you because they're the zoning people, right? They write, they give the recommendations on zoning, but it's your project.
Good.
I think that if we invite the public to something before that, I think it might take away from some of the audience
Absolutely.
That we might get
yes.
expect to get at.
Yes.
And I know like they always, Wizardwin always does as part of every project, or, you know, you have the website and there's a link that you can sign up for all your updates and you can sign up to get emails and you can, you know, stay involved in that way. We'll make sure that everyone on the limited list that I have from the forum gets transferred over to that. You guys have people you want to just add to the list without having them sign up, groups in town or groups you work with that do that. We'll start building it up. Great.
Yes.
I am really excited about this.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
All right. We talked about the zoning. Project election of officers.
Nominate Cheryl Harden as president.
Oh, Cheryl
Harden.
Second.
I'm not sure if I can
vote. Sure, I think I nominate Jeff Munchak.
I got a second on my motion.
No, Joe doesn't count because you're not a voting member.
I'll second it.
I can't. Withdraw it, it's far too complicated.
Is there any discussion before we
discuss? Yes, please.
Yes. Because I'm new here still. I still count myself as new. So.
You're not really new anymore.
I'm second
you
newest.
That only lasts for a little while.
You can discuss and then elect. You can have a motion and a second and then discuss before you vote. Like, you can do it. Really. So you have a motion and a second on the floor. You can discuss Cheryl as president specifically.
Are you refusing?
Discuss.
You're not refusing.
I'm not refusing.
So what did you want to discuss?
Oh, I'm just curious, kind of like, you know, obviously you're keeping us going with the agenda and all of those sorts of things, and you help set the agenda.
That's about all I do.
And that's pretty much it. Yeah. Okay.
Would you like the presidency?
No.
Chair?
I was going to nominate you.
Yeah.
No, I feel like there's so much experience at this table, and I am not up
so
to your
So I'll tell
level
you that
at this point,
a chair's duty for any committee is just to facilitate discussion. It is not to be the person who knows everything. It is not to be the policy setter. The chair's job is to run the meeting, make sure everyone who wants to have a say does, and that's about it. It's not experience. It's not any of that. It's just
make sure that someone's talking too much and shut up.
Right. It's really just facilitating the meeting.
It's true, but when we have all these forums coming up that we're sponsoring,
yes.
and we're going to start in the next 2 years, I think we're really going to start to be out in the public spotlight
true.
A lot more. And so, and usually the chair is called
it's
upon.
It's the like intro. Or
yeah,
whatever.
To be that.
That's true.
To be that speaker.
That is true.
So you know, that may not be this year. Maybe next year is when that might be. Well, I don't know.
Well, no, with the zoning work, it's probably this year.
Yeah. And if there is a bond that gets floated, that will be a big a project too. That will,
right.
if that happens.
Put the chair at a point.
That's
yeah,
very
that's true.
That's
it doesn't
would,
have to be the chair, really.
Because the chair shouldn't have to be the one who can do the public speaking, and the,
yeah.
it shouldn't have to be the be-all, end-all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just throw that out there.
Okay.
It's
so we
really
should work as a team and,
yeah.
and find
and the
each other's strengths. And
the chair is really about running the meeting, and that's the end. This
I
one.
Could do that.
I think you do a great job, Sarah.
I could do that.
I would love to. I would love to
do
it.
Oh, thank
you.
Let's get settled then.
So is there a vote on that?
I can't call anything.
Well, there's a chair right at the moment.
I didn't. I did the roll call.
No, he's talking about a vote on the
no,
motion.
Vote on the motion.
Oh, I thought you said I have to vote on the motion.
You have to call for a vote.
All right, I call for a vote on the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now you do need to elect a new vice chair because Mark is stepping down.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember correctly, his term is up at the end of this month. So
it's at the end of this month.
Why don't you do it, Jen?
Nominate Jen. Okay.
Why don't you
second? I'm co-chair.
You're pretty speedy down there.
Well, that sounds like even less responsibility than running the meeting.
Well,
you run the meeting and the chair's out.
Yeah. If she's sick, you have to step in.
That's fine. I love coming to these meetings.
There you go.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. And then you need a secretary.
We
I don't
do?
Know.
Really?
Secretary is
no,
that.
We don't have a secretary.
We don't have a secretary.
Ginny's the secretary.
No, you do need a secretary. You don't have one right now, but you need one.
Yeah, we never had one.
You
never had one. Yeah.
They don't really do anything except
if
you two aren't there, they run the meeting. Also, if we, the town staff, ever decide not to do your minutes or your agendas, they do it. But that's not going to happen. We're going to keep doing your minutes. We're going to keep doing your agendas. But if that ever happened, in other communities where all their committees are not staffed,
mm-hmm.
the secretary does those things.
Okay.
But in our town, all of our committees are staffed, and we do those things for you.
Mm. So, nominate secretary?
Nominate Kenny.
Secretary.
You can nominate Josh.
Huh?
Good.
Where's like Jeff? Jeff needs a role.
I don't need a role.
I was going to say you can nominate Josh because he's not here.
Oh, let's do it.
I thought
there you
that,
go.
But I didn't want to say it. That's the sort of the running joke in my office is that if we have a meeting and someone's not there, they get
right.
all the stuff.
Okay. Draw my second.
Yeah.
Who nominated him? You?
I did.
Well,
all right, withdraw.
Nominate Josh.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Wait, so who was that? Jeff?
Josh.
And then you?
Yes.
And all of you. Good.
He's never going to miss another meeting.
Never. All right. Anything else?
Does anybody have anything else? We're all set for next month's agenda then.
Yeah, so I'll we'll
meeting.
I'll figure out what those topics actually should say, and Cheryl, we can talk.
It's just a general information. Shannon Falls is closing soon.
September. Early September.
Deal.
Yep.
$15 million deal.
Yeah.
How many are 42 units total?
42 units. Shannon in Charleston,
that's
Richmond.
Right.
Wow.
Where is it?
Great.
In Shannon.
So
two sites.
Yeah. 11 units.
Affordable housing units.
Affordable housing, yeah.
Simple.
Is it being funded by the state?
It's a LIHTC. Low Income Housing Trust credit.
Tax credit,
yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Well, that's
exciting.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
Good.
It's big.
That is big.
So we've actually started. We started some clearing the grounds. Yeah.
Cool. That's quite a few. 42.
Yeah.
So two buildings?
Two sites.
A lot of buildings.
Several buildings. One site is on the Charlestown side, and one site is on the Richmond side.
Was it four buildings in Shannon Cottages?
Yes.
And eight?
I think. It's a partnership with Women's Development Corporation and the and Washington County Community Development Corporation are the two partners.
Great.
Mm. So Charleston's really doing well on their affordable housing units. They're going to be close to their 10%.
How many units is 10% for Charleston?
I don't know.
Charleston was at like 2%. I don't think they're going to hit 3. With this, to be honest.
You don't think so?
No.
That will not bring them to 3?
No, with only 11 coming online.
What's
Charleston,
their population?
Like
7,000?
Really?
That's all?
That's it? For year-round residents?
Mm-hmm. It's not a big town. It's all summer.
Wow, I think
they qualify for rural development money. That's why I do that.
7,773.
And does it double in the summer?
I bet it does.
Population?
I bet it does. Mm-hmm. Housing units?
Yeah, I was going to say how many.
This is not catapulting them to any heights.
Darn.
It's still exciting.
Oh, it's exciting. it's particularly
really
exciting because their own money's in there.
Because what?
Their own money's in the Shenandoah College.
The bond money.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's good.
Oh, there you go.
Like, I see there's a lot of parcels in town. Like, there that piece at the end of High Street that you mentioned before, Chelsea, where the restaurant used to be, that's for sale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
There's lots of different parcels around town. There's that one up on 108, just past East Farm, that's for sale. It used to have the restaurant on it. And if we had bond money, we'd be able to at least do some pre-development work. Maybe think about a deposit, but right now we have nothing to even do.
Is that 300? Right. Talk that's around
and
or not.
And try to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how that Charleston bond money ended up being able to. To see the one of those projects.
What you need to get to.
Big ballpark. What's pre-development cost on
like,
it?
You usually they put like 50,000.
Okay.
So you get the architects in and do some testing.
How much? 50,000.
Affordable housing. 2.8%.
That's it.
Yeah.
Who do they use as an architect?
Union. Union Studios. Who's doing this? Yep.
Yeah, I think if we can get some site specific. Renderings or just ideas would be helpful for people to see. Well, what does this mean on the ground specifically?
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah, so to sort of contrast, and this is why this is so hard for us, right? Charleston has 3,000 households, which means they only need 300 units.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
South Kingstown, on the other hand,
you guys are what, five and change?
Has 10,000 households. We're at 5.5%, and that 10% of 10,000 is 1,000, right? That's
a lot.
I think when you take out the year round, it's like 850, more than around that number. It's an astronomical number for us to do it 20% of each new development. We can't do it that way. We're not going to get there. Mm-hmm. We need to do dedicated. We're doing a whole development.
That's just affordable, right?
Yeah, those are never going to get there.
Right.
So.
Does anybody have anything else? Questions, comments? Go to adjourn.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, can you move? Can you make motion?
You don't have to move to adjourn. You can just end your meeting.
Meeting adjourned.